You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and today I'm speaking with Dr. John Waldron, CEO of the LGBTQ Center of Southern Nevada, also known simply as The Center. For almost 30 years, The Center has cared for, championed, and celebrated LGBTQ individuals and underserved populations in Nevada. John has an accomplished career working with nonprofits, and before that spent 25 years in newspaper advertising. He's also the founder of LEAP, a leadership development program that helps people find greater purpose, and he's a proud veteran of the U.S. Army. John, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Heather. I appreciate it very much, and I'm proud to be here representing the center and the LGBTQ community.
When was the center established?
The center was first incorporated in 1993, so next year we'll actually be celebrating our 30-year anniversary. We began in the commercial center in a small storefront, but we moved into our current location in April of 2013.
What kinds of services do you offer to clients?
We have a full medical clinic with regard to testing and treatment and pharmaceutical services for people seeking help with sexual health and HIV testing, STD testing. Eventually, through that clinic, we're going to be offering primary health care as well. We also do advocacy work for people who are victims of crime or are in crisis, but we also just have social services for or social engagement programs for our community to come together in a safe and affirming atmosphere to live their authentic lives, which is really what our mission is about. And so we have programs for our youth all the way to our seniors and everybody in between to just get together and do social activities together. We also have an event center here that's available to the community, and we have our own events there. And plus we have a great cafe called The Jolt.
Cool. How have conditions and service needs changed in the three decades since the center was first started?
Well, I think initially our center was more like the centers you see in most communities where it's a safe place for our community to come together and be with our chosen family and socially engage with one another. But clearly our center took off in a direction that is significantly larger than centers that you often see across the country, in that we recognized that we needed a place where we could provide medical care for our community, which sometimes can be a real challenge in Southern Nevada, especially for our trans community or the intersex community. And so our medical clinic was certainly something that wasn't necessarily envisioned initially, but grew out of necessity. But also our work that we do with providing advocacy for victims of crime or people in crisis, some of that came out of the neighborhood that we reside in and some of the need that existed around us. But also as things changed in society and we knew that more and more people, especially as an example in our trans community, needed us for advocacy work, then we put together a pretty robust advocacy program at the center.
Nice. So where exactly is the center located now?
We are in downtown Las Vegas. We are at the corner of Clark and Maryland Parkway, which is just north of Charleston. And we love our neighborhood that we're in, and we do our very best to be good neighbors to our local neighborhood here.
Okay. Tell us a little bit more about the pirate-themed back-to-school fair you've got happening next weekend.
Well, we started the back-to-school fair last year and had such an incredible response with hundreds of kids coming out and in need of school supplies that we decided to take it up a notch this year and create a theme around the fair. And so our team decided to do a pirate theme where kids can come on Saturday, July 16th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. They're going to be given a treasure map. And there'll be a pirate on site, There'll be treats and fun activities. But as the kids go through our building using their map, each one of the X's will have different sets of school supplies that they'll need, including a backpack to carry those supplies. And so we're super excited to have the kids come. This is an example of how we try to be really good neighbors in our downtown community. But kids from all across Southern Nevada are welcome to join us.
Hopefully they uncover the backpack first so they have something to put all the rest of the stuff in.
If they follow the map, they'll get the backpack first.
Okay. How many kids are you expecting?
Well, last year we had 300 kids, and this year we are going to be prepared to up to 1,000 kids.
What are the requirements to take part? Do they need to pre-register in advance or sign up or just show up on the day?
No, just show up on the day, and we will welcome any kids from any of the areas throughout Southern Nevada, and we'll be proud to welcome them to our center.
Okay, and what other community organizations are taking part as partners?
Well, we're proud to have our partners of Silver Summit Health Plan, Health Plan of Nevada, Molina Healthcare, and the UNLV School of Public Health are all taking part in partnering with us and have just been tremendous partners to help make this happen.
Okay, so it sounds like a lot of healthcare partners. Are there going to be other things besides school supplies happening on that day, like, you know, healthcare education or giveaways?
Certainly, and I'm sure each one of our partners will have a place on site where they'll be giving out resources for health-related services, as well as we are looking for partners currently to hopefully be able to provide haircuts for the youth, but we certainly will see our partners providing resources for the community, and even Silver Summit Health Plan is going to have a sweet spot, which is going to have treats for the kids, healthy treats.
Healthy treats, of course. Yeah, I was going to ask about that. So I was scrolling through the events pages on your website, and it was pretty full. So what other types of events take place at the center?
Well, we have a number of regular groups that meet here. We certainly have AA, NA type groups that meet here on a regular basis. We have groups like we have men's groups. We have our senior groups that meet here on a regular basis. Also, on Sundays, we have a church meets here at the center. We have Abundant Peace that meets here. We're the home of the Las Vegas Men's Chorus on Sundays here at the center. And so we have a variety of groups from all across Southern Nevada, not just from the LGBTQ community, but a variety of groups that meet here. But we're also available to provide space for special events. So we'll have special events on site on a pretty regular basis. And thanks to the support of Las Vegas Sands, we're actually getting ready to remodel our event space to provide an even nicer space for our community groups.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, actually, because I noticed you don't just rent out rooms for meetings, but you also have like full event halls and dance floors. It looks like you could throw a wedding there or a reunion party or almost anything. What kinds of events can people hold?
Certainly. And we do have weddings here. Sometimes somebody gets married someplace else, but has a reception here. Mm-hmm. We will have dances that take place on site. We will have concerts. We even have a local wrestling company, Big Valley Wrestling, will hold their wrestling events in our event space, and they draw an amazing crowd. So we can, our event space is 3,009 square feet. And so we can handle any type of event that somebody wants to hold in a space of that size.
Okay. So where can people go for information if they want to either hold an event themselves, rent out some space from you, or if they're looking to see what other events you have going on and the different services and resources that are available?
Everything can be found at thecenterlv.org. And when you go there, you'll see there's some easy menus to follow to the event space and to our calendars that will provide all the information that anyone would need.
Okay, and what if someone listening isn't necessarily interested in services for themselves, but they are interested in helping you with your mission and maybe volunteering or maybe donating?
Well, we certainly welcome any type of volunteering or support. And if anybody wants to reach out to us via telephone, they can reach out at 702-733-9800. Our folks at the front desk serve as our concierge, and they answer that phone, and they'll be able to answer any questions that they have. If anybody wants to help us financially, which we're always sincerely grateful for any help that the community can give us, you can certainly do that at our website at thecenterlv.org.
Okay, awesome. So once again, thecenterlv.org, thecenterlv.org. They have all the information there, whether you want to find out about the services and resources that are available, whether you want to rent out some meeting space or an event hall, or if you want to find out about the pirate-themed back-to-school fair happening next weekend. It's Saturday, July 16th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday, July 16th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., corner of Maryland Parkway and Clark, did you say?
Yes, just north of Charleston on Maryland Parkway.
So Maryland Parkway, just north of Charleston at Clark, and the pirate-themed back-to-school fair again is happening next Saturday, July 16th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. If you want to give them a call, it's 702-733-9800, or you can go to the website thecenterlv.org for all the information, and the event calendars and everything else you could want is right there, as well as some pictures of the event halls, which look beautiful even now before they've been renovated. So I can just imagine what they're going to look like after.
Thank you so much, Heather. We're really grateful for the opportunity to speak with you today.
Yeah, John, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you letting everybody know about what's going on there. And, you know, in case they haven't heard of the center, or, you know, maybe they have heard of it, but not for a while, or didn't know you had so much going on. So I really appreciate you being here and sharing with us. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
When a student lacks some of the most basic needs,
like food, clothing, and school supplies,
it can be challenging to even attend school.
It can be hard to study, tough to concentrate, impossible to thrive.
At Communities in Schools, we address this issue every day.
Out in the community, there are great resources for students, and we bring these resources directly to the students who need them most.
We work to ensure that they have everything they need to re-engage in learning in the classroom and at home,
including access to technology, learning materials,
and even emotional support.
By forging caring relationships with students and bringing communities of support to them,
our staff works to achieve equitable learning conditions so all kids can succeed in school and in life. And that's what Communities in Schools is all about.
To learn more, visit communitiesinschools.org.
This is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and joining me today is Melissa Jacobowitz, Chief of Development and Strategy at the Nevada Partnership for Homeless Youth, or NPHY. NPHY is the most comprehensive service provider for homeless youth in Southern Nevada, with core programs and outreach initiatives that touch thousands of teens' lives. During her 10 years at NPHY, Melissa has become a champion and fierce advocate for homeless youth. She has written millions of dollars in successfully funded grant proposals, authored many articles about youth homelessness for local and national publications, and serves as the co-champion of the Southern Nevada Homelessness Continuum of Care Youth Working Group, as well as being on the National Network for Youth's Policy Advisory Committee. Melissa, thank you so much for being here today.
Absolutely, Heather. Thank you so much for having me.
So when exactly was NPHY established?
Yeah, great question. So we were established as a nonprofit in 2000, but in 2001 is when we really gathered community advocates together to get an initial law passed that really kicked off our journey to ending youth homelessness in our community. Back in 2001, we got a law passed called the Right to Shelter Law, which allows unaccompanied minors access to survival services like shelter and food and hygiene and things like that. And once we were able to gather the community to get that law passed to allow unaccompanied minors to access those needed services, then we launched our first ever drop-in center, and ever since then, we've just been growing our programs to meet increasing needs in our community.
So before 2001, before you got the right to shelter law passed, youth didn't have the right to be in a homeless shelter?
Yeah, so unaccompanied minors who are separated from their families, unfortunately, it used to be illegal, more or less, to be a runaway. So even if a young person was experiencing abuse or neglect in their home, or even if they were abandoned by their families, they were not allowed to go to a shelter on their own and be temporarily housed or connected to those basic needs services. But that law actually changed that so that a licensed professional, such as a social worker, which is what we have on staff at MPHY, that a licensed professional can actually meet with a young person and assess their situation and substantiate if there is abuse or neglect going on. And if there is, we can actually meet those survival needs and we can get that young person on that road to self-sufficiency. Of course, we collaborate with child welfare and CPS, and we always work on anything we can do to reunify a young person with family in a safe and responsible way. But that law did pave the way for unaccompanied minors to be able to access life-saving services themselves.
When you say minors, does that mean there's no minimum age now?
Yeah, so yes, there's no minimum age. We at MPHY particularly serve ages 12 through 24. So okay. We serve minors as well as what we call transition age youth. So that's ages 18 through 24 in our community. And that's what the federal government has many different definitions of homelessness, but the Housing and Urban Development just defines homeless youth as up through age 24. And that's what we do as well.
Okay, so what are some of the services and resources that you offer to these homeless youth?
Yeah, absolutely. So MPHY is a very comprehensive service provider. So we do anything and everything we can to help each individual young person wherever they are on their journeys beyond the streets. So our services begin with outreach. We go out on the streets. We find youth where they are. We meet their immediate needs on the streets by providing them with things like food and hygiene supplies and clothing and information about our services so they know how to access our services 24 hours a day. We actually have a 24-hour-a-day access point that's available at almost every street corner here in Southern Nevada through our Safe Place program. So Safe Place is a national program, but we operate it here in Southern Nevada, and it's available at every Terrible Hopes gas station, at every City of Las Vegas fire station, at every Clark County Las Vegas library, Henderson library, and it's also available on our RTC buses. A youth can hop on a bus and say, I need a Safe Place, and the driver will take them to the nearest location. We train the staff in all of those locations on how to access us, and we have crisis responders on call 24 hours a day that will be dispatched down to a location when a youth arrives. We'll meet the youth, assess their situation, and provide them free transportation to obtain additional services based on their needs. Additional services that we offer, we have emergency shelters where young people can stay with us temporarily. We meet those immediate needs, give them a roof over their head, a place to stay as we figure out what their long-term plan for self-sufficiency is going to be and what the next step on that journey is going to be. We have transitional housing for young people who can live with us for a longer period of time who really don't have any other option. We do a variety of types of family reunification. We also do rapid rehousing where we provide rental assistance and connect youth with community landlords. We have a drop-in center where youth can get their immediate needs met, with case management therapy, really enrichment activities, leadership development, anything and everything you can imagine to meet young people's needs and get them on the pathway to long-term self-sufficiency.
Wow. Wow, that's incredible. How bad is the teen homeless situation in Southern Nevada?
Yeah, that's a great question. So unfortunately, we have one of the worst problems of youth homelessness in the country. Year over year, Southern Nevada, Clark County in particular, have ranked in the top communities for unaccompanied young people, especially experiencing homelessness. That's young people who are separate from their families, in addition to young people who are also homeless with their families, which we have a lot of in our region as well. Last school year, the 2020-2021 school year, there were over 10,000 students identified as experiencing homelessness who are actively enrolled in Clark County schools. And we know that that is a severe undercount with remote schooling and COVID-19 and young people who unfortunately got disconnected from schooling during that year. So we know that there are thousands of young people unstably housed and experiencing homelessness in our community. And we also know that our community doesn't currently have enough resources to meet those young people's needs. So it's really a severe problem here in our community.
Why is it so bad here?
Yeah, that is a great question. And it really is a combo of things. It's Of course, things like economic insecurity. Unfortunately, here in Las Vegas, we have our children are living in rates of poverty that are higher than the national average. In addition, affordable housing, as many of us who live here know, has become more and more of a challenge. And in fact, we actually have the most severe crisis in the country in terms of affordable available rental units for extremely low-income renters. For every 100 low-income renters we have in our community, we only have 13 available rental units that meet their needs. So, and as the price of housing continues to go up every year, and especially recently go up exponentially, especially for rentals, then, and our wages don't continue to go up and reflect that, that can really be an issue. Additionally, something that is kind of unique to our community here is that Nevada is the most transient state in the nation. So we have the smallest amount of people who live here, were born here. So accordingly, if, you know, economic issues or unemployment or affordable housing get in the way of a family being able to stay housed, they a lot of times don't have that natural support network of friends and family locally that they could fall back on if they're new to the region. So that can also really exacerbate those problems and result in them becoming homeless. And then, of course, there's things like us being a 24-hour city and an international destination, and unfortunately a hub for human trafficking and all of that. Those all also, an immigration plays into it. There are all kinds of other compounding issues that really play into why the problem is so severe here.
Wow. So you mentioned students, but if a teen is homeless, why would they still go to school?
That is an excellent question. So yeah, that's a great question, because you might think if they don't know where they're going to sleep that night or where their next meal is going to come in, why would they spend their time going to school?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, the answer is there's a few different reasons. One, for many youth, school actually serves as a lifeline. It almost serves as a safe haven, right? Because one, there's free and reduced breakfast and lunch, right? So so a lot of times for young people experiencing homelessness, that's actually where they can get food. So they go to school to access resources, things like food, things like a place to be in the daytime out of the heat or out of the cold, depending on the season. So it also, in a way, serves as a day shelter. In addition to accessing resources, a lot of times for young people experiencing homelessness, sometimes the only stable, supportive adults in their lives are their teachers, their guidance counselors, people that they meet and come to depend on at school. And sometimes that stability or even their friendships can be so important to keeping that stability going, or, you know, giving them hope for continuing on and even working toward that. And so, you know, it really, and so many of our young people, they really want to be engaged in school, right? They're just like any other young person or any other teenager that, you know, has dreams and things that they want to accomplish, right? And school tends to be the way that many young people can do that or be with their friends, or they get to be a teenager. And it's almost a reprieve from their experience of homelessness outside of school. So for many of our youth, succeeding in school is a high, high priority for them, but they're lacking the resources and the tools to be able to do that.
Okay, so speaking of that, tell us about the NPHY education drive that you currently have going on.
Yeah, absolutely. So NPHY has launched an education drive to be able to break down some of those barriers that make it difficult for young people experiencing homelessness to access school and succeed in school, and to provide them with those resources and tools to help them accomplish their educational goals. So our drive that we're doing, a part of this drive is, of course, for school supplies, things like notebooks and pens and pencils and backpacks and folders and binders and all those kinds of school supplies, right, that we all remember going shopping for and needing and accessing each year. So we're doing a school supply drive for that, where people in the community can buy those items and drop them off at our drop-in center. We are also encouraging people to hold drives with their communities, so with their friends, their families, their coworkers, at their places of worship, et cetera, where they can actually collect items for us and drop them off at our drop-in center. And we also this year are making it really easy for people. We also have an Amazon wish list, so people can actually shop for these school supply items that we need from the comfort of their own home. They can find our Amazon wish list and they can order an item and it'll be sent directly to our drop-in center, so you don't even have to drop it off. Or we also are raising funds as well to fund not only school supplies, but those educational needs that come up throughout the year. So for many of our young people, maybe we can obtain school supplies for them now, but maybe over the course of the year, maybe they're a senior and they need help getting their yearbook or going to prom or, you know, paying graduation fees or college application fees or, you know, different things that come up like that. Maybe they need extracurricular, you know, items for things like sports, like uniforms or supplies or field trip money or things like that. So we're also raising funds as well to help with those ongoing types of educational needs that come up. And people can just go to our website, which is NPHY.org. mphy.org, mphy.org, and they can learn more about this drive. They can download this wish list. They can get a link to our Amazon, or they can also donate on our website. Or an even easier way to donate this year is they can text NPHY to 801-801, and that will also enable them to donate to this drive.
Okay. Where is the drop-in center where supplies ultimately should be dropped off?
Yeah, definitely. So our drop-in center is located at 4981 Shirley Street, and that's in Las Vegas, and the zip code is 89119. It's right near the intersection of Maryland Parkway and Tropicana. It's right across Tropicana from the Thomas and Mack Center, so right near UNLV.
All right, so with school starting in a few weeks, what's the deadline for this education drive?
Yeah, great question. So we're hoping to collect all of the items by July 20th. And that's so that we can get them together, itemize them, get them ready, and then distribute them, because these items are going to be distributed to hundreds of youth accessing our drop-in center. It was also going to be distributed to young people who are living in our emergency shelters and our housing programs. And in addition, we also are going to be distributing these items on the streets. We have a signature outreach event that we do every Friday called Feel Good Friday, where we go out into high-need areas and high-need neighborhoods where a lot of young people are either experiencing homelessness or unstably housed. And we actually give out all kinds of items on the streets. So we're going to do two big back to school Feel Good Friday events, one on a Thursday, one on a Friday this year, and give out items to hundreds of youth in the community in need as well.
Okay, so if the kids need the supplies, how do they know where to go to get them?
Yeah, great question. So of course, we particularly are aiming to get the supplies to our young people experiencing homelessness. So if there's a young person experiencing homelessness or who is unstably housed, right, when we say homelessness, this includes couch surfing, hopping from friend to friend's house. This includes staying in a daily, weekly motel temporarily. This includes, you know, living in a car or even being doubled up with family. Anytime that you do not have a consistent, reliable, adequate nighttime residence that you can count on, we are able to serve you at MPHY. So if you need to access our service, the easiest way to access our services in general, especially if you're in a crisis, is through our Safe Place program. So any young person listening to this, if you're in a crisis situation, you can 24 hours a day call our Safe Place hotline. And our Safe Place hotline is 1-866-U, that's the letter U, R-A-R-E, SAFE, S-A-F-E. Another easier number that's just a direct number to call as well that also will go to the same hotline is 702-383-1332. So any young person in crisis can call that number 24 hours a day and get connected to a responder who will help them access the nearest, talk to them, help them access the nearest Safe Place site, and then you can get picked up if you're in a crisis. Or if you're a young person who is experiencing some unstable housing, but you're okay couch surfing for right now, but you do need some school supplies, feel free to drop by our drop-in center. So starting the following week, so toward the end of July, beginning of August, our drop-in center is open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and we accept walk-ins. So clients can come right to our drop-in center and say, hi, I'm experiencing this, and we'll meet with a case manager, and we'll be able to hook them up with those school supplies or other things they might need, such as bus passes or clothing for school or food or hygiene items, et cetera, et cetera. So any youth can walk into our drop-in center, can call our Safe Place hotline, and there's also more information on how to access all of these services on our website at mphy.org.
Okay, and then also at the website, if people are interested in helping out beyond the education drive, so whether that be volunteering or donating, is that information all there as well?
Yes, absolutely. So definitely, we have a great variety of opportunities to volunteer, both in person and virtually. That includes helping at our Feel Good Friday event, where you can actually meet some of these young people and actually help us give out those resources and make those connections and build those rapport with those young people so that they can access our services. In addition, we have some virtual opportunities with teaching classes and, you know, different things like that. That's all available on our website. Or if you have questions or want more information on how to volunteer, you can also email us at volunteer@mphy.org. In addition, on our website, we have information about how you can donate. Feel free to go. We have several buttons you can click on that say donate. You can donate particularly to the education drive. You can donate to us in general, whatever you would like. Or again, you can also donate by texting NPHY to 801-801.
Okay, awesome. So again, it's nphy.org is the website, or you can text NPHY to 801-801. The drop-in center where you can bring the supplies if you want to, 4981 Shirley Street, which is at the corner of Maryland Parkway and Tropicana near UNLV. You can also email if you're interested in volunteering, volunteer@nphy.org. If you're a youth in crisis, you can call 866-YOU-ARE-SAFE. That's the letter U, are safe, or 702-383-1332, or just drop by the drop-in center, of course. And again, the website with all that information is nphy.org. And Melissa, I want to thank you so much for being here and talking with us about this situation. You know, I didn't have any idea it was so bad. And it's great that you've got all these programs in place for the kids out there that need them. You know, the fact that this is one of the worst places for youth homelessness is, you know, pretty sobering thought. But the fact that you're helping them is, you know, it's a little bit of positivity in the situation. So thank you for what you do, and thank you for bringing it to our attention.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for your time. And thank you so much, Heather, for helping us spread the word about this. And thank you to the community for coming together and providing these resources for the young people, because it really does take a village. And this is an example of that. So we really appreciate you stepping up and showing these young people that you care, and giving them those resources to succeed.
I'm Tumani. When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things. I committed some crimes, even got shot, but I'm not a criminal.
That's right. I'm Jamal. I work for Youth Advocate Programs. Yeah, I was Tumani's advocate, helping him stay out of jail, stay in the neighborhood, get a job, and work hard to see a better future for himself. If you have a change of mindset, you can have a change of action.
As a little kid, I experienced trauma and I acted out. Made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
No, she's a good student and a great kid. As Jalen's Yap advocate, I'm always here for her. With the Youth Advocate Programs, I was able to connect with Jalen.
Yap is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration, congregate placement, and neighborhood violence. After completing our program, 86% of participants were arrest-free. Yap works.
And now, I'm a Yap advocate, helping kids like me find a better way.
Youth Advocate Programs. Others talk social change. We make it happen. Learn how at yapinc.org.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and I'm your host, Heather Vail. Joining me today is Major General Paul Eaton, United States Army, retired, and senior advisor to Vote Vets. Vote Vets elevates the voices of veterans and military families through policies and endorsements that impact the lives of active service members, veterans, and the country. Major General Eaton served more than 30 years in the U.S. Army, including combat and post-combat assignments in Iraq, Bosnia, and Somalia. He's appeared on major network news shows, is a frequent contributor to national publications, and has advised candidates for congressional and presidential campaigns. Paul, thank you so much for being here today.
Heather, thank you very much for the invitation. Great to be with everybody.
So, what exactly is Vote Vets?
We are an organization that our primary mission is to get veterans of the Iraq and Afghan wars elected to high office. We focus on Congress, and we've had a lot of success getting folks there. We also provide a platform for veterans to reach out and talk about and influence outcomes as far as domestic policy and foreign policy, Iran being a case in point.
Okay. So what's important about President Biden's Middle East trip coming up on Wednesday?
Well, soldiers, U.S. military, we love our diplomats. We love to see diplomacy out front. And whenever the most important political figure in the world reaches out to a difficult part of the planet, and the Middle East is obviously such a place, we're very happy about that. He carries a message of peace. He carries a message of what can we do to help outcomes. And Israel and Saudi Arabia are very, very important countries to that end.
Okay. And what kind of deal are you hoping will come out of this in regards to Iran's nuclear program?
Well, we're looking to build support, both domestically and abroad, for the reintegration, the reestablishment of the Iran agreement. And when we left it in 2015, terrible mistake, that pretty much kicked Iran's program into high gear. And what we would like to see is Israeli support and Saudi Arabian support for the reintegration of the United States into the JCPOA, the Iran agreement. And that's the main effort for this trip. We're glad he's doing it.
Okay, so the major mistake in 2015 when we left the agreement, give us a little bit more background on that. What happened? Why did we leave? Why was it a mistake?
Well, there have always been folks who have been unhappy with the agreement, that it was not long enough, that there was a sunset clause. And when we established the agreement in the beginning, we focused on the real issue, and that is nuclear weapons. We do not need any more proliferation of nuclear weaponry on planet Earth. And Iran, in particular, should it go to be a nuclear power, would be very destabilizing for the region and for the world. So it was an important agreement. And if we accept that, that it was very important, the fact that we left the Iran agreement, the seven signing parties, and reimposed sanctions upon Iran, we basically gave them a green light to go ahead with the program that they were underway before the agreement, and created a situation that made it more difficult to address also the malign activities Iran has outside of the agreement, their support of terrorism, their human rights problems.
Okay, so it was the Obama administration that made the agreement and the Trump administration that canceled the agreement?
Indeed.
Okay.
And the fact that President Obama was able to marshal the support of the most important countries, we could argue, to get behind this agreement was a diplomatic success. And the fact that we unilaterally left the agreement in 2015 was a great misfortune, and we're subject to paying for it dearly.
Okay, so besides the fact that it was an Obama administration agreement, what reason would Trump have to want to leave that agreement in 2015?
Well, the people he was catering to were part of his base, and it was a political gesture, and frankly, it was a very immature, petty gesture that helped guide his other policies. If Barack Obama did it, it was going to be undone by Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. So it was a misfortune based on petty politics. That was the primary driver. The underlying statement that went with this was that the malign activities of Iran caused us to withdraw from the agreement and reimpose sanctions. We've got to separate malign activities, terrorist support that Iran has embarked upon years ago, and their human rights abuses. And we have to separate that activity from the nuclear issue, which is the primary focus of the Iran agreement.
Why is it specifically Iran that's the major nuclear threat today? You know, growing up, it's always been Eastern Europe. And, you know, now it seems to have moved Middle East. But why is that? What makes Iran the big nuclear threat?
Iran, it's actually any new member of the nuclear club, if you will.
Okay.
That's the issue. Iran happens to be on the vanguard. We have significant problems with North Korea and their program. And then you have the other nuclear nations, more mature. We know who they are. We know what they can do. And we factor in the fact that they are nuclear powers into our foreign policy debates. So the arrival of Iran on the scene is a destabilizing influence, particularly because of their rhetoric towards Israel and the animosity that is displayed between Saudi Arabia and Iran, two major players in the Middle East.
Okay. You've talked about going back to the type of agreement that would potentially stop that threat. What is the Senate pushing for instead of that agreement?
What we're trying to get the Senate to do is support the agreement and to reintegrate in its totality to ensure that Iran does not move forward to acquire a nuclear weapon, which could happen very, very quickly.
Okay, and what is Senate wanting to do instead of that?
The Senate, to put it as succinctly as I can, appears to want to frustrate this deal, and there is a strong hawk element of the Senate that would like to see us move from diplomacy to a war with Iran, and that would be catastrophic.
So you see this as there being a lot at stake if Biden's not able to reintegrate this type of agreement?
Indeed, if we are not able to establish the agreement, reestablish the agreement, and to stop the impositions, to stop the progress towards a nuclear weapon in Iran, the possibility of armed conflict between the United States and Iran rises dramatically. And if you liked what happened in Iraq, you'd love to see what's going to happen between the United States and Iran. Bigger country, more people, better equipped to make life very miserable for a lot of places in the Middle East.
So historically speaking, veterans and military members tend to be more right-leaning on the side of the Republicans, but it seems like you're taking a more progressive stance here. Why is that?
Heather, you'd be surprised at how many military people, particularly those who have seen warfare, like to see our diplomats out in front. And diplomacy is not a political indicator. It is a indicator of prudence and a means of husbanding the true treasures of America and the other countries in the world, and to solve problems at the diplomatic table as opposed to the use of our superb military.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be nice. So, you know, we've been living under threat of nuclear bomb for as long as I can remember. But what are the actual chances that a country will drop it? You know, we've seen it happen a couple of times, but going forward, we got bigger bombs, bigger destruction. What are the chances that someone will actually pull that trigger?
It has been very remote in the past. The threshold for use of nuclear weapons dropped dramatically when Vladimir Putin threatened on multiple occasions the use or movement of nuclear weapons to advance his war aims. So I have to tell you that the nuclear threshold has dropped in the last year. Growing up, the whole concept of mutual assured destruction, MAD, was the governance, that it was a nuclear deterrent as opposed to a nuclear warfighting tool. And we've got to raise the threshold again, that the use of nuclear weapons is obviously unacceptable and a destabilizing effort. All the war games that we did during the Cold War, basically the initiator of use of a small nuclear weapon, the conflict went very quickly from small nuclear weapons on the battlefield to very large nuclear weapons, intercontinental deliveries. So this is a threshold that we wish to raise, not lower. And we've got to convince all nuclear armed countries that that's a great way to go.
Okay. So if listeners think this is resonating and they want to somehow help influence President Biden's ability to reintegrate the agreement, or, you know, maybe just get involved in some other way, what are their options and what can they do?
The single best option, and this is a great question, and thank you for asking it. The single greatest option is to contact your senator and your both senators and your representative. I have sat in many of those offices, and when the phone rings and this young American picks up the line and it's a constituent of the great state of Nevada or all other states out there, they take notes, and those notes are delivered to the principal, to the senator, or to the representative. And that helps. Every time that happens, it is a great help to outcomes. And influencing our senators and our representatives is what Americans can do best.
But if a senator or a member of Congress has already made up their mind as to what they believe should be the course forward and what they believe to be the correct decisions, how much influence can random people have on decisions that they've already made?
Heather, I have great faith in the American people. I have great faith in our elected officials. And I do believe that a senator who gets a lot of phone calls in support of the Iran agreement will sit back and think, sit down with his folks, and reconsider his options if he was inclined to vote against. So this is an opportunity for Americans to influence the men and women that we elect and to help guide their decision-making process.
Okay. And how do they find the contact information for the senators and members of Congress?
Well, when I do it, I go to the internet, and if you Google Senator Tammy Duckworth, immediately you will get her page, her contact information, and it helps if you're a constituent, but it's not an absolute. And you will have an opportunity to either leave a message on a website that will be read, or you will have phone number contact for our elected senators and representatives.
Okay. And what if listeners want to find out more about what Vote Vets does and maybe get involved in supporting the organization?
Another great question, Heather. Thank you. we would go to the website, and Vote Vets has a robust internet presence and our website available. And if you just Google Vote Vets, it'll pop up, and you'll see, one, how to contact us, two, how to understand better what our mission is, and you'll have the opportunity to donate, as all these things do.
Okay, awesome. So votevets.org is the website, votevets.org, if you want to find out more information about Vote Vets, if you want to get involved with donating, volunteering, just finding out more about what the issues are that are at stake. That's votevets.org. And if you want to have influence on Biden's Middle East trip that's coming up on Wednesday, call your senators and representatives. Two senators and four representatives in Nevada. Give them all a call. Let them know that you support. What's the actual wording on that, Paul? The Iran agreement, what's it called?
JCPOA, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. JCPOA is the technical term for the Iran deal or the Iran agreement.
Okay. So let the senators and representatives know that you support JCPOA, the Iran agreement, and, you know, see if we can have some influence on making that go forward and not having these nuclear threats hanging over our heads, which, as Paul pointed out, could be absolutely catastrophic. Paul, thank you so much for being here today and talking with us about these issues and letting us know more about what's going on and what can be done about it. You know, your experience is obviously incredible. And you know what you're talking about. You've been there for years. So thank you so much for bringing it to our attention. I appreciate your time.
Heather, thank you. And thank you for a wonderful interview. Great time with you.
Great time with you as well. Thanks, Paul. If you want to reach out to your senators and representatives, here are their websites. Our senators are Jackie Rosen, rosen.senate.gov. That's rosen.senate.gov, and Catherine Cortez Masto, cortezmasto.senate.gov, cortezmasto.senate.gov. And our representatives for Southern Nevada are Susie Lee, susielee.house.gov, that's susielee.house.gov, Dina Titus, titus.house.gov, titus.house.gov, and Stephen Horsford, horsford.house.gov, horsford.house.gov. All of our senators and representatives for Southern Nevada are with the Democratic Party.
My name is Corporal Bradley Joseph Seitz.
Jerry Reed.
Kate Weber.
These are real veterans facing a real challenge.
I have PTSD.
And I have PTSD.
I have PTSD.
Post-traumatic stress disorder can happen to anyone.
I was still in a war zone in my mind.
But treatment can turn your life around.
Treatment has really saved my life.
To learn about PTSD and how treatment can help you, call your local VA medical center or visit ptsd.va.gov.
Put a frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
I'm Heather Vail with the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and this is your community events calendar for nonprofit initiatives and charity events around the Valley. Monday's Dark with Mark Chinook is a bi-monthly musical fundraising party at The Space, with each event raising $10,000 for a specific charity in 90 minutes. Upcoming shows include this Monday, July 11th at 8 p.m., benefiting Rebuilding Together Southern Nevada, Monday, July 25th at 8 p.m., benefiting Sleep in Heavenly Peace, and Monday, August 8th at 8 p.m., benefiting the Muscular Dystrophy Association's Fill the Boot campaign. Get tickets or find out more details at mondaysdark.com. Vegas Fright Nights is debuting Summer of Screams for two nights only, July 15th and 16th, opening at 6:30 p.m. each night. It promises to be the horror event of the summer, featuring Nightmare Manor, Clown Invasion in 3D, and a sideshow stage with DJ and performers. All proceeds from Vegas Fright Nights benefit Opportunity Villages programs and services for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Find out more or purchase your advance tickets at VegasFrightNights.com. The LGBTQ Center of Southern Nevada is holding a pirate-themed back-to-school fair on Saturday, July 16th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. All kids and teens from around the valley are encouraged to come by, get their treasure map, and find the backpacks and school supplies hidden throughout the center. The center is located on Maryland Parkway north of Charleston. Find out all the details at thecenterlv.org. That's thecenterlv.org. Hockey stars from the Vegas Golden Knights and football stars from the Las Vegas Raiders will be facing off against each other to play softball. The third annual Battle for Vegas charity softball game will take place on Monday, July 18th at 7:30 p.m. at Las Vegas Ballpark in downtown Summerlin. Watch Riley Smith of the Vegas Golden Knights and his teammates take on friends from the Las Vegas Raiders, with proceeds going to benefit the Vegas Golden Knights Foundation. Funds from the event will be distributed to two nonprofits, Communities and Schools of Nevada, the state's leading dropout prevention organization, and the Maximum Hope Foundation, founded by comedian Brad Garrett to provide financial assistance for families of children dealing with critical, life-threatening illnesses. Buy your tickets or find out more details at battleforvegas.com. That's battleforvegas.com. Crystal Ray St. Vitus College Preparatory School is hosting a series of lunch and learns for potential new business partners in their corporate work study program. Upcoming events will be July 19th, August 16th, and September 20th. If you're a business owner or executive, find out more information at CristoRayStVitus.org/lunchlearn. That's Christo, C-R-I-S-T-O, Ray, R-E-Y, Saint, Vitor, V-I-A-T-O-R, .org/lunchlearn. The Nevada Partnership for Homeless Youth, or NPHY, is holding an education drive to raise funds and collect school supplies for homeless youth in Southern Nevada. School supplies are being collected until July 20th and will be distributed to students in need after that. You can drop supplies off at the NPHY Drop-In Center near Maryland Parkway and Tropicana, across from UNLV's Thomas and Mack Center. Or you can purchase from the Amazon wish list and send supplies directly to the Drop-In Center. Access the supply wish list and other details at nphy.org. That's nphy.org. Silver Summit Health Plan and the YMCA of Southern Nevada are hosting a free back-to-school community health fair and pool party on Saturday, July 23rd from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Durango Hills YMCA. The event is free to community members of all ages and will feature several raffle prizes and giveaways, including backpacks and school supplies, bicycles, gas cards, baby cribs, and more.
The future depends on teachers. Every day, teachers are shaping our tomorrows, starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who will make preventing pandemics their life's work, sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who will help combat climate change, and generating possibilities for a student who will be the first in their family to graduate college. It all starts with teachers who meet challenges with creativity, who reinvent education for the future, who work towards a school system that lifts up every child, regardless of race, income, or zip code, and who enable the full potential of our students, our communities, and our country. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.